This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayechi, and we'll try to analyze what is happening in the beginning of the Parsha and throughout chapter 48. In the beginning of the Parsha, in chapter 47, verse number 29, Yaakov Avinu is getting close to die, and he asks that Yosef swears that he is going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael and not burying him in Egypt. Yosef says that he will do as Yaakov asks. Then Yaakov asks him to swear to it, and Yosef swears to it. Then on chapter 48, which seems to be a little later, the Pasuk says, it was after those things, meaning after Yosef already swore to Yaakov. Then Yosef is told, Hine yovicha choyle, that behold, his father is sick. And the Gemara in Baba Metzia Daf Pei Zayin Amed Aleph learns from that the Ad Yaakov lo avechusha, that until Yaakov there was no sickness. Also Yaakov boy rachmev avechusha, that Yaakov prayed that it should be sickness. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer Perek Nun Beis explains even better, and he explains that since the neshama came in through the nose, because it's written by Adam Arishon that Hashem blew in our nostrils a spirit of life. Therefore, when a person had to die, he used to sneeze, and by sneezing, his neshama used to go out through the nose. That means that he had a sudden death. Then Yaakov Avinu came, and Yaakov Avinu asked Hashem that he shouldn't die suddenly, that he should have sickness, that he should be able to command and bless his children and grandchildren. And Hashem did his bidding. Therefore concludes the Pirkei de Belezer, when a person sneezes, we still say Chaim, life, or salut, Gesundheit, bless you, because that used to be the way that a person died. We don't say Gesundheit when a person is coughing, only when he sneezes. And in all cultures we find the same thing, that only after a person sneezes, then we bless him by saying a comment of blessing, and in all cultures is the same thing. And the source of the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, the source of the Gemara, is our verse where it says, Hinei avicha choyle, behold, your father is sick. And as the Rashbam explains in Bereishis chapter 29, verse number 25, that every time it says the word Hinei, bedavar shenoida tchila oimer Hinei, when there was something that was changed from the normal thing, and now it's a different thing, then you say Hine, as it's written there, Vaiba Boiker, it was in the morning, Vehine Hileya, and behold, she is Leah. Meaning he thought until now that she was Rachel, and in the morning it was changed. It was not known before to him that it was Leah, and therefore every time it says Hine is a change that wasn't before, and therefore here, when it says, Hinei avicha choyle, behold, your father is sick, that means that until Yaakov there was no sickness, and behold, now something was changed from the norm. Voices on Baba Basra, Daftav Zion, Omed Beis 16b, asks a question on the Gemara. The Gemara there says that it's written in the Pasuk, Vashem Berach es Avram Bakoil. In Bereishis chapter 24, it's written that Hashem blessed Avram with everything, and everybody is trying to understand what everything means. The Gemara there says, Rab Shimon ben Yochai Omer, the Rab Shimon ben Yochai says, Even toivo oisot tluyo betzavore shel Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu had a precious stone on his neck, shekol choyle horoye oise miyad misrape, that any sick person that would look at it would automatically become healed. And the Gemara continues that if Shosh and Nifta Avraham Avinu min Olam, that after Avraham Avinu passed away from the world, Tola Kudush Baruch Hu Begal Chama, Hashem hung it by the sun. But nonetheless, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu had a precious stone that any sick person that would look at it would be healed. Tosfos there asks a question, how can you say that there was a sick person before Yaakov, in the time of Avraham Avinu, if the Gemara says that before Yaakov Avinu there was no sickness? Tosfos answers that there is two types of sickness. one sickness that involves a wound, that sickness was all the way back from the time of Cain and Abel, meaning that if somebody gets hit by a wound or gets hurt, he's sick, and that sickness is the sickness that this person would gaze at Avraham Avinu's stone and he would get healed, but there wasn't a sickness that wasn't from a wound. And Yaakov Avinu prayed that you should have a sickness not from a wound. Then Tosfos brings the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, which the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri explain that there is two types of sickness. There is a sickness where a person is expected to recover, and that is a sickness that was even at the time of Avraham Avinu. And regarding that sickness, the Gemara in Baba Basra says that if a person would gaze at Avraham Avinu's precious stone, he would get healed. But then there is a sickness that you are not expected to recover, a sickness that you died from, and that is a sickness that Yaakov Avinu prayed for and Hashem granted to him. Then the apostle continues and says that as soon as Yosef heard that, he took Es Shnei Bonov, his two children, Es Menashe v'Es Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim. We continue with Pasuk number 2. Pasuk number 2 says, Vayageit leYaakov, and it was told to Yaakov, Vayoymer, and he said, Hine bincha Yosef bo'elecha, behold, your son Yosef is coming to you, Vayishazek Israel, Israel strengthened himself, meaning Yaakov strengthened himself, Vayeshev al amito, and he sat up on the bed. Here it's written the word Hine, behold, but yet nobody comments, what is this behold? What changed that now Yosef is coming? The first Hine we mentioned, behold, is that until Yaakov there was no sickness. But here, in Pasuk number 2, it's written, Hine, behold, bincha Yosef b'erelecha, that your son Yosef is coming to you. What is the behold? What changed from the norm? I once heard a beautiful interpretation based on the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos on Vayomer LeYosef, that he told Yosef, where the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos explains that Yosef HaTzadik never visited Yaakov. He was not rogil, not used to go to Yaakov. And the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos brings down that Rav Shmuel Zal writes down that the reason is that Yosef was afraid that Yaakov would ask him how he went down to Egypt, and then Yosef would have to tell him that the brothers sold him, and then Yaakov would have cursed the brothers, and if Yaakov cursed the brothers, then he would destroy the whole world. And we know that Yaakov's curses are very potent, because Yaakov gave a curse without knowing, and it took effect. Because Yaakov in Bereshit chapter 31, verse number 32, where the trophim of Lavan were stolen by Rachel, but Yaakov did not know that Rachel stole those trophim, then Yaakov said, Ima shetimtza zelohecha, that the person that will be found with your gods, lo yichya, would not live. And Rashi writes down that because Yaakov said that the person who stole the trophim, the gods, will not live. Im oisa klola meisa Rachel baderech, because of this curse, Rachel died on the road. Then we see that Yaakov's curses are very potent, even when he has no knowledge and he makes a curse by mistake, that takes effect. Then for sure, if you'd have cursed the brothers, that would for sure have taken effect. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik never came to visit his father. And since we're saying now that Yosef didn't stay next to the father, never went to visit him, then it's very appropriate the language Hine, behold. Because as we said, behold means that something changed for the norm. And according to this Dazakim Baal Tosfos, the norm of Yosef was not to visit his father. When the father heard that Yosef is coming, that is really a behold. That is really a change from the norm. Another interpretation that I heard is that Yosef had a dilemma, meaning that Yaakov was his father and he's required to honor his father. But yet, Yosef was also considered the king, and Yaakov is required to honor the king. And we have a rule that is written in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin Omed Aleph 17a, that Av Shemochal Al Kvoidoi Kvoidoi Mochal, that if a father wants to forgo his honor, then he is entitled to forgo his honor. He is entitled to give up his honor. But yet we have a rule, Melech Shemochal Al Kvoidoi Ein Kvoidoi Mochal, that a king is not allowed to give up his honor. Therefore, Yosef was in a dilemma, that if he comes to visit Yaakov, then he compels Yaakov to give him honor, and that felt very uncomfortable to Yosef. And theoretically, Yosef can't even bow down to Yaakov, even though Yaakov is his father, because since Yosef is the king, he cannot forgo his honor and give honor to his father. And true that Yaakov Avinu could forgo the honor and not request that Yosef honor him. But the opposite is true, that Yaakov is required to honor Yosef because Yosef is a king. Therefore, Yosef had a terrible dilemma, that if he comes to visit his father, then the father is going to have to show him honor, and he can't show honor to his father, and that felt very uncomfortable to Yosef. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik visited his father only in rare occasions. Therefore, since he visited only in rare occasions, we could say, Hine, behold, Yosef, your son, is coming to visit you. Because that's something that changed from the norm. Normally, Yosef doesn't come to visit, and now Yosef comes to visit. We'll add a little bit to this interpretation soon. Continuing the Pasuk says that Yaakov tells Yosef, Kir Shakai appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, by Vorachoisi, and blessed me. Vayomer Elai, and he told me that Hinu Mafrecha, I will make you fruitful. Virbisicho, I will make you numerous. Vinsaticho lekalamim, I will make you a congregation of nations. Venosati esoret zazoit ozaracho acharecho, achuza soilom, and I will give you this land to your offsprings as an eternal possession. Meaning, Rashi explains that in chapter 35, verse number 11, Hashem told Yaakov, Ani kel shakai am Hashem, pray urvei, be fruitful and multiply, goy ul kahal goyim yu mimeka, that a nation and a congregation of nations will be from you, umelachim mechalotzecho yitzeyu, and kings will come out of your loins. And Rashi explains that since the only child that Yaakov Avinu had after that is Binyamin, then obviously when Hashem said that a nation will come out of Yaakov, that is referring to Binyamin. But Hashem also said that Kehal Goyim, the congregation of nations, will come out of Yaakov. And since Yaakov didn't have any more children, then Yaakov understood that one of his children will be divided in two, and that will be a congregation of nations. Therefore, Yaakov now is giving that gift that one of his children, Yosef, should be divided into two tribes to Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, Yaakov says right afterwards, Ve'ato, and now, Shnei vonecho hanu elodim lecho be'etz Mitzrayim ad bo'elecho Mitzrayimo, the two children that were born to you in Egypt before I came to you to Egypt, Lehem, they are to be considered mine, that Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruven and Shimon yearly, that Ephraim and Manasseh will be like Reuven and Shimon, meaning that they will be considered separate tribes like Reuven and Shimon. The gift that Hashem told me, that Kehal Goyim, congregation of nations, will come out from me, since I didn't have any more children, that gift I'm giving to you, that your two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, are going to be considered separate tribes in regards to the Tchumim, to the borders. Meaning that all the people that came into Eretz Yisrael received equal shares. Meaning Hashem gave a portion to every single person that came into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore you may ask, what difference does it make which tribe you are, if you are one tribe of Yosef, or you are two tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim? And the answer that Rashi gives is that the difference would be that if you are one tribe, then your share are in this location. But now that Yosef is divided in two, Manasseh and Ephraim, then Yosef gets his portions in two separate locations. one the location of Menashe, and the other the location of Ephraim. There's an interesting Dazakenia Baal Tosfos on this statement of Yaakov, that Ephraim and Menashe will be like Reuven and Shimon. The Dazakenia Baal Tosfos notes that the numerical value of Ephraim and Menashe is the same numerical value of Reuven and Shimon, plus one, meaning that Ephraim is numerical value 331, because the Aleph is 1, the Fei is 80, that makes it 81, the Resh is 200, that makes us 281, the Yud is 10, that makes it 291, and the Mem is 40, that makes it 331, and Menashe is numerical value 395, because the Mem is 40, and the Nun is 50, that makes it 90, the Shin is 300, that makes it 390, and the Hey is 5, that makes it 395. Now if you take Ephraim and you add Menashe, then it ends up 331 plus 395, which equals 726. Then you take Reuven, which is numerical value 259, because the Resh is 200, the Aleph is 1, that's 201, the Vav is 6, that's 207, the Vav is 2, that's 209, and the Nun is 50, that's 259, and the numerical value of Shimon is 466, because the Shin is 300, the Mem is 40, that makes it 340, the Ayin is 70, that makes it 410, the Vav is 6, that makes it 416, and the Nun is 50, that makes it 466. Then you add Reuven and Shimon, which is 259 and 466, you get a total of 725, which is one number less than Ephraim Menashe, which is 726. From here, the people who do gematrias learn that you could have a numerical value if it's one apart, meaning that you could add one for the kollel, and then the numerical value would be equal. Because since Yaakov Avinu says that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, then they take it that even the gematrias are considered equal, even though they are one apart, that is still okay, because then we could add the kollel. Then the pasuk continues in pasuk number 6 and says, Umoladetecha, and your children, Asher hoiladeto achareim, literally translated, that you gave birth after them, because it is a past tense verb. But Rashi changes this, and Rashi says that im teled achareim, that if you are going to have children after that, then the children are going to be called according to their brothers in their inheritance. Meaning that up till now, the children that you had, Menashe, Ephraim, are going to be mine, but any future children that you are going to have are not going to have a separate tribe or tribe of Yosef. They'll be included amongst the tribes of Ephraim and Menashe. And Sefer Beir Yitzchok explains that Rashi felt that he has to translate this way because we do not find anywhere that Yosef had other children. Neither in Chronicles or in the Torah, we don't find a list of Yosef's children that he had after Ephraim and Menashe. Therefore, it cannot mean that the children that you had afterwards, because he doesn't have any children. Therefore, Rashi says that if, in case you are going to have children, then those children would have been included in Ephraim and Menashe. The Targum Unculus agrees with Rashi that this is a future tense, but the Targum Unculus doesn't say if you are going to have children. The Targum Unculus says that all the future children that you are going to have are going to be part of Yosef, but they will get their inheritance as part of Ephraim and Menashe. The Rashbam says that the interpretation of the pasuk is different, and the translation is really literal, meaning that the children that were born before Yaakov Avinu came down to Egypt, Ephraim and Menashe, they are to be considered separate tribes, but any children or grandchildren born to Yosef between the time that Yaakov Avinu came up to this time, which was 17 years later, those children are going to be considered Yosef's, but they'll be getting their inheritance as part of the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. It is interesting that the Rashbam here writes either the children that you had or the grandchildren that you had, because the Rashbam is of the opinion that Yosef had other children, even though we don't find anywhere that they are listed, but nonetheless the Rashbam is of this opinion, and the Rashbam says this clearly on chapter 41, verse number 50, where the verse there says, "Ule Yosef yulad shnei vanim, beterem tovoy shna sarav," that Yosef had two children before the years of hunger came. The Rashbam said that these two children he had before the years of hunger, but he had other children after the years of hunger, and he brings this pasuk as proof that Yosef had other children. We'll continue with the parsha with pasuk number 7, but that pasuk is a very puzzling pasuk, and all the mefarshim are trying to understand the connection of what Yaakov is saying. The pasuk says, "Va'ani, as for me, devoy mi Padan, when I came back from Padan," meaning when I was returning from the house of Lavan, when I came back to Eretz Yisrael, "Meisu alai Rachel be'eretz Knan," Rachel died on me in the land of Knan, "baderech, on the road, boit kivras eretz lavo Efrasa," while there was still a stretch of land to go to Efrat, "vek bereyosham," and I buried her there, "baderech Efrat," in the way to Efrat, "he beit lechem," that is the place of Bethlehem. The Mefarshim are bothered, what is this pasuk doing in the middle of Yaakov giving the blessing or telling Yosef that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, and all the children that are going to born afterwards are yours, but they will get the inheritance together with Ephraim and Manasseh, but you should know that your mother died on the road and I buried her on the way to Ephrat Bethlehem. What is the connection between the psukim? What is the message that Yaakov is trying to give to Yosef? Rashi explains that this statement comes to appease Yosef in regards of Yaakov asking Yosef to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and yet Yaakov did not bury Yosef's mother Rachel even in a town, and he buried her in the middle of the road. And Rashi continues and says that, "I know you are upset at me for not burying her in a proper burial, for not taking her to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, even though it was not a time of rain and all the roads were dry and I could have taken her there. But you should know that the only reason I buried her on the road is because Hashem told me to do it, because Hashem wanted that Rachel Imenu should be a help to her children." Meaning, when Nebuzradan would exile the Jewish people after the destruction of the first temple, they will pass by the burial ground of Rachel, and then they will pray, and then Rachel Imenu will come and cry in front of Hashem and ask that Hashem forgive the Jewish people, as it's written in Yirmiyahu chapter 31, verse number 15 and 16. And then Hashem will tell Rachel Imenu that her deeds are going to be rewarded, and because of her prayer, the Jewish people are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi's interpretation is a very beautiful interpretation, but the problem with Rashi's interpretation is, why does Yaakov Avinu mention this here now, while he's telling that Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be like Reuven and Shimon? The proper place to mention this, that even though you're upset at me asking you, take me up to Eretz Yisrael, and yet when it came time to bury your mother, I buried her on the road, that should have been written down on Pasuk number 32, meaning in the beginning of the Parsha, after Yaakov requests for Yosef that he should take him up to Eretz Yisrael, there Yaakov should have written down, "Vani bevoy mi Padam," but when I came from Padaram, I didn't do this to your mother, but don't be upset at me, I didn't do this because Hashem told me not to do it, meaning Hashem told me to bury Rachel Imenu on the road. Why is this all of a sudden here. All of a sudden here when he's dealing with Ephraim and Manasseh and not dealing with his burial altogether. The simple interpretation we could give is based on the words that we mentioned before in Pasuk number 2, where the Pasuk says, Hine bincha Yosef bo'alecha, behold, your son Yosef is coming to you. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of the parasha, requests that Yosef bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And after his request, Yosef stops visiting. Yosef used to visit Yaakov, but after Yaakov requested that Yosef bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef stopped visiting. And the proof is that it's written, Hine bincha Yosef bo'alecha, behold, your son Yosef is coming to visit you. And as I mentioned, every time he says the word behold, is something that was changed. And here it was changed that Yosef doesn't visit anymore, he stopped visiting. Therefore, Yaakov realized that Yosef must be upset because of something. And the last request that Yaakov made of Yosef is that Yosef bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, after Yosef comes to visit Yaakov, and Yaakov tells Yosef that Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, now Yaakov addresses the reason why he feels Yosef is upset and Yosef stopped visiting. Meaning that now Yaakov tells Yosef that I feel that you may be upset at me asking you to bury me at Israel, even though I didn't do this to your mother, but you should know that the only reason I didn't do this is because Hashem told me to act that way, meaning Hashem told me to bury Rachel Imenu on the road. The Parashas Drachim explains why just now, after Yaakov Avinu says that Ephraim and Manasseh should be like Reuven and Shimon, Yaakov Avinu feels a need to tell Yosef that he didn't bury his mother because Hashem told him not to do it. And he explains based on the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Ayin Beis Siman Gimel, where the Medrash Rabbah is brought by Rashi on Bereishis chapter 30, verse number 15, where Reuven comes with the dudoim, with the mandrakes, and according to certain interpretations, is jasmine, which has a very pleasant smell, as it's written in Shir HaShirim, HaDudoim Nosnu Reach, that the dudoim gave out smell. Then we see the dudoim is something very aromatic. Reuven brings those dudoim to his mother Leah, and Rachel Imenu asks Leah to give some of the dudoim of her son. Leah retorts and says, it's not enough that you took my husband, you want to take the dudoim of my son too. And then Rachel says that Lochein, therefore, Ishkav Imcha Alayla, Yaakov will have relations with you that night, Tachas Dudoy Bneich, for the Dudoyim of your son. Rashi says that Lefish Zilzulav Mishkav Atzadik, because she belittled the lying of Yaakov, meaning to have relations with Yaakov, spending the night with him, Loizachser Leikov Rimoy, therefore she did not merit to be buried with him. Meaning the fact that she traded away having relations with Yaakov for Mer Dudoim, that showed that she doesn't have enough respect to Yaakov, therefore she did not merit to be buried with Yaakov. Yosef knew about this story, and Yosef always thought that the reason that his mother was not buried in Mount Machpelah was because of what happened with the Dudoim, because Rachel belittled having relations with Yaakov. The Parashas Drachim now brings a interesting Medrash Rabbah in Shir HaShirim Zion Yud Dalet, which seems to say that Rachel did the right thing in the story of the Dudoim. There the Medrash Rabbah is analyzing the Pasuk HaDudoim Nosnu Reach, that the Dudoim gave out smell. And the Medrash says, Rav Shmuel said, Zuhif Sida Vezuhif Sida, Rachel lost something and Leah lost something. Zunistakra, Vezunistakra. Rachel gained something and Leah gained something. And he proceeds to explain. Leah hifsida dudoim, Leah lost the dudoim, meaning the jasmine or the mandrakes were given to Rachel. Venistakra shvatim, but she gained tribes because she had relations with Yaakov that night. Then Issachar came out and eventually she merited also to have Zvulun. but Veifsida HaBechoira, she lost the right of the firstborn. And we'll explain soon what does it mean that she lost the right of the firstborn. Rachel Nistakra Dodoim, Rachel gained the Dodoim because now she has the jasmine or the mandrakes, Venistakra Bechoira, and she gained the right of the firstborn. We'll explain soon what it means. Veifsida Shvatim, but she lost that she didn't get the tribes, meaning that maybe Issachar Zvulun would have come out of her, but because she switched the knight, she lost the tribes. The Efei Torah explains what does it mean that Rachel gained the Bechoira and Leah lost the Bechoira. He explains that because of the Dodoim, because Rachel wanted so much to perfume the room for Yaakov, to give pleasure to Yaakov, therefore Rachel gained the Bechora, that the right of the firstborn was taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef. That because Leah gave up the Dodoim that Reuven gave, and she did not value the little extra comfort that Yaakov would have felt by having the Dodoim, which has a good smell, therefore she lost the little extra which usually a Bechor gets, and only Rachel's child, Yosef, received that little extra, the Bechoira. Then according to this opinion, Rachel did the right thing by taking the Dodoim, even though that she had to give up the night with Yaakov. Because only because she took the Dodoim, Yosef received the Bechora. Then according to this opinion, we cannot say that the reason that Rachel Imenu was not buried with Yaakov is because she gave up and she belittled the night with Yaakov, because quite opposite, she took it in order to enhance Yaakov's experience when it comes to her at night. According to this, the Parashas Drachim explains the following. Originally, Yosef thought that because she gave up that night for the Dodoim, therefore she was not buried in Me'oras HaMachpelah, in the Machpelah cave together with Yaakov, as Rashi explains. But now that Yaakov is giving Yosef the Bechoira, he's giving Yosef the double portion that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, then Yosef is thinking, how do I merit to have the Bechoira? It must be because my mother took the Dodoim, and because she enhanced Yaakov's experience, therefore Yaakov gives her children the Bechoira. Then now arises the question, why in fact did Yaakov not bury Rachel in Me'oras HaMachpelah? Since her taking the Dodoim and giving up the night was the right thing to do. Therefore, right after Yaakov gives the Bechoira to Yosef, where now Yosef finds out that his mother didn't do anything wrong by giving up the night for the Dodoim, now Yaakov has to explain why in fact he didn't bury her in Me'oras HaMachpelah. And Yaakov says that the reason I didn't bury her in Me'oras HaMachpelah was because Hashem told me to bury her on the road in order for her to be a help for her children in the future. I heard once an interpretation from my Rabbi and Moiri, Rabbi Zril Yida Lebovich, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, the winner of, which the interpretation is similar to the Parashas Drachim, but it seems to be much simpler. Meaning that there is a famous Ramban in Parshas Toldos, chapter 26, verse number 5, that the Ramban says that our forefathers, before Torah was given, they only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, they weren't required to keep Torah. Therefore, the Ramban says, Yaakov did not transgress anything by marrying two sisters. Meaning that the Torah in Parshas Achrei Mois, chapter 18, verse 18 says, Ve'isho alachoyso aloy sikach litzroir legalo izrevoso aloy b'chayeo, that you should not take a woman in addition to her sister to cause her to become rival, to reveal her nakedness on her while she's alive, meaning while your wife is alive, you are not allowed to marry your sister-in-law, your wife's sister, and therefore technically Yaakov could not marry Rachel since he first married Leah. The Ramban says that that prohibition did not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the Ramban says that this law did apply in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, as soon as Yaakov came with Rachel and Leah in Eretz Yisrael, Rachel had to die in order for Yaakov not to transgress that prohibition. And the Ramban continues that technically Rachel should have died outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the fact that she was able to come all the way to the place of Bethlehem was only because of her merit, meaning that Rachel had special merits that she was able to come in all the way to Bethlehem and die and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, originally, Yosef thought that the reason that Yaakov Avinu did not bury Rachel in Maras HaMachpelah is because of the opinion of the Rambam that Rachel is the illegal sister, and since Rachel is the illegal sister, she had to die right when you come into Eretz Yisrael, therefore Yaakov could not take her to the Maras HaMachpelah. If Rachel is considered the illegal sister, then Yosef is technically considered the illegal child, because Yosef is the child of Rachel. Therefore, Yosef originally did not have any questions on Yaakov, why Yaakov did not bury Rachel in Eretz Yisrael. But now that Yaakov is giving Yosef the chelik b'choira, the portion for the firstborn, he is not only legitimizing Yosef, but is actually giving Yosef the portion of the firstborn. Now comes out that Yosef is really legal. If Yosef is legal, then there was no transgression by the relations with Yaakov, with Rachel. Then if Rachel is also legal and nothing is wrong by Yaakov having married Rachel, then the question now arises, why didn't in fact Yaakov bury Rachel in Maras HaMachpelah? Therefore, only after Yaakov tells Yosef that Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven and Shimon, that shows that Yaakov is legitimizing Yosef, now Yosef's question, why didn't Yaakov bury Rachel in Maras HaMachpelah, comes to light. Therefore, Yaakov says right afterwards that the reason I didn't bury Rachel in Maras HaMachpelah was because Hashem told me to do. Just as a side note, there is an opinion that says that even though our forefathers kept Torah inside Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, Yaakov could still marry Rachel. One opinion says that since the Torah gives a prohibition and writes in the prohibition that a person should not take a woman in addition to her sister in order for them to become rivals, Yaakov understood that the Torah stresses the reason that the reason is that they will become rivals. And Yaakov thought that this prohibition will not apply to these two sisters, because according to Rashi, in Bereshit chapter 29, verse 25, Yaakov gave simonim, gave signs to Rachel in order to prevent Lavan from changing women. But when Rachel saw that Leah is being brought to the chuppah, Rachel did not want that Leah should be embarrassed, and Rachel gave the simonim to Leah, even though Rachel thought that by that she'll be losing her husband. Therefore, Yaakov thought that in this case the prohibition does not apply, because we see the great love that one sister has for the other. Then these sisters can never become rivals, and if they are not rivals, then the prohibition does not apply. And the second answer is that since we know that Lavan was an idolater, and if Lavan is an idolater, then the children are really children of idolaters. That means that Rachel and Leah had to convert to monotheism. And the biblical rule is that if two sisters convert to Judaism, then they lose their relationship between each other. They are technically not considered sisters. Therefore, Yaakov could marry Rachel and Leah. There is no prohibition against marrying two sisters, because halachically, they are not considered two sisters since they are two converts, and halachically the converts are considered like a newborn children which have no relationship to their previous relatives. Sefer Chaintov gives a very simple answer. He says that when Yaakov Avinu said that Ephraim and Manasseh will be like Reuven and Shimon, Yaakov Avinu was saying this not regarding to inheritance, but regarding to who should carry his coffin. Meaning, we know that 12 people carried Yaakov Avinu's coffin, 3 people from each side. And normally, the 12 children of Yaakov should have carried his coffin. But since Yaakov didn't want Levi to carry his coffin, because Yaakov Avinu knew that Levi is destined to carry the Aron Hashem, the Ark of Hashem, and it's not proper that he should carry the coffin of Yaakov Avinu, which is a dead person. And since Yosef had the rule of a king, meaning he was the category of a king, and it's not proper to have the king carry a coffin, then Yaakov Avinu appointed Yosef's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should be like Reuven and Shimon in regards to carrying the coffin, meaning that they are the ones who are going to carry Yaakov's coffin instead of Levi and Yosef. Then according to this, the question that we asked, why is the Pasuk afterwards talking about the death of Rachel Imenu, that Yaakov Avinu didn't bury Rachel Imenu in a proper burial, but he buried on the road? The answer is very simple, that since Yaakov Avinu now is making provisions for all these people to carry him after he dies, then Yaakov Avinu is trying to appease Yosef, that don't be upset with me that I'm making all these provisions for people to carry me, but yet in regards to your mother, I didn't make any provisions, I just buried her in the middle of the road. You should know I did it only because Hashem told me. Meaning that that pasuk is really in its proper place, because Yaakov Avinu now is talking about his burial, therefore he brings up the topic of the burial of Rachel Imenu. And even though we are discussing the death of Yaakov Avinu, nonetheless the Talmud clearly says that Yaakov Avinu lo imeis, that Yaakov Avinu did not die, and the simple interpretation is that while we are learning the Torah, we are following in the path of Yaakov, then we are keeping Yaakov alive. Then Hashem Yisburach should help that we should continue keeping Yaakov alive by learning the Torah, by behaving in the proper way, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, b'mehero b'yomeinu, amen.